Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even it is meet, it says, even it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you, how the bowels of Jesus, after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. They asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment of all? And he told them, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it unto the first, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. We don't have a whole lot of problems about loving us and taking care of us and loving God. But in order for us to be like Jesus, we've got to love everybody that is around us also. And that's not always easy. And so we're going to talk about that today, give you some ideas of ways that you can work on that and ways that you can help yourself in finding that place in the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now that your spirit would move and flow in this place. Lord, that you would anoint my lips of clay and that you would speak in this place today. Lord, in your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. You may be seated this morning. This scripture that we've read in Philippians 1 is talking about how Paul thinks about these people in this church. When he's talking about the Philippians and he's writing to them, he's telling them, because I have you in my heart. He's saying that you are with me always, that that even though I don't see you every day, even though I'm not with you every day, that you are with me always, that I am continually thinking about you, I am continually praying about you, because I carry you in my heart, I carry you with me. Now, in the day and age that we live, that sometimes dealing with people and investing in people's lives, it's messy, it's time-consuming, it's something that you have to commit to. It's not just something that you can say, well, I'll do it one day a month, and then I'll feel good about the situation that I'm in. But to be involved in somebody's life, to find somebody that doesn't know anything about Christ, to find somebody that's hurting and broken, and to make up your mind that I'm going to invest in their life, it demands real love. It demands real work. It's easy to sit behind a computer and plan an event. I know people that are great planners. They can plan events. You want to do a church event? They can plan the event. They can come up with ideas. They can come up with things to do. But the deal is not ideas and things to do. The deal is the legs to make sure that they get done. The deal is not creating just the perfect atmosphere that when somebody comes in, but be able to love them when they leave and while they're out in the world also, being with them, working with them, having a relationship with them and being there for them. We have a lot of people I've experienced a lot of times when people weren't exactly on my heart, but they were on my nerves. Paul said, you are in my heart. Now, that could be for a lot of us, that they weren't on our heart, but they were on our nerves. That I'm carrying it with me, but it's not in my heart. It's on my very last nerve. And if they say one more word, if they show up one more time, if they make one more look, if they send me one more text, if they ask for money one more time, and I'm carrying them all right, but it's not in my heart. It's on my very last nerve. See, we've got to understand that life is messy and people are messy. That God has blessed us. God has put his hand on us. God has led us and guided us and kept us. And most of us in this room have great lives compared to the people that are around us and some of the stuff that other people are going through. And he didn't bless us just so that we could sit here and enjoy what we've got. He blessed us so that we can help others. So the question is, where do I start? If I'm not ministering to anybody right now, if I don't have anybody in my life, if I don't have another mess that I'm a part of, because when you've got somebody else's mess in your life, we've got enough messes sometimes and we don't want to add to our messes. But the kingdom said that we've got to love those people. We've got to reach out. We've got to do everything we can to connect to that world, because we're the only Jesus that they're ever going to see. And if we won't have anything to do with them, how are they ever going to find him? Without a preacher, without somebody stepping out, without somebody allowing God to work in their lives, how are they ever going to find the gospel? And so we've got to make it a point that, you know what, I've got to have people in my life that I work with. But where do I start? How do I find this person? How can my life make a difference this week? How can my life touch somebody else's life today? How can I change somebody else? How can I affect somebody today? There's a saying that says that words create worlds. We live in a world that is so verbally battered. We live in a world that people just say whatever they want to say. We live in a world that nobody can have an opinion. And if they do, they're dumb and everybody else wants to tear them down. It's sad to me that we used to be a country that it was the American dream. If somebody picked themselves up and they did something great, that everybody looked at them and said, that's what I want. But now if somebody gets a little too high and mighty, we all feel like that we got to cut them down to size, because we don't want them to feel like they've gotten too high. We've got to find something wrong with the way that they've done it, or the things that are going on. If God's blessing somebody, let's celebrate with them. If God's helping somebody, let's celebrate with them. If they've put in the work, then bless God. Let them be, we'll have whatever they want to have. And so, but the world that we live in is, if somebody gets up a little bit, we'll cut them down. If somebody gets a little blessing on the job, and we'll find out something that's wrong. If somebody gets a more involved, and we just, it's the nature of the community that we live in now, in the world that we live in. And so we live in a world where people are constantly bombarded. People are rude. People are ugly. Just drive down Sam Houston, get on 171 tomorrow morning, and find out how people really feel about you and what they think, and whether that horn they're willing to use. And then go get on Moss Bluff, be informed, and find out your car is had a picture taken of it, and they've posted it to the world about this person that can't drive, and they'll tell you exactly what they think about you. It's Proverbs 18 and 21 that says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Mother Teresa once said, kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. See, we've got to understand that when you speak kindness into somebody's life, it is different than any other word that they've probably heard that day. When you speak kindness to that person at the drive-thru window that's messed up your order, and you really want to say something else about the incompetence of the situation that's going on, and you speak kindness into that situation, you let them know it's all right. If this is the worst thing that happens today, then this is going to be a great day. And they'll step back and look at you like, I was expecting a curse word. I was expecting something rude. I was expecting something else. Where do you start? Start with the way that you speak to people. Start with the way that you interact with the people that are around you. You never know how much a kind word can mean to somebody that you don't even know. Jesus was standing in the synagogue, and there was a woman that had an infirmity 18 years. She was bound, she had a spirit of infirmity. She wasn't even sick. She was bound by a spirit. She was bound, the scripture says she was bound to the ground almost. She looked straight at the ground. She had been this way for 18 years, and she could not nowise lift herself up, the scripture says. And when Jesus saw her, he called her unto him. This is in Luke 13 and 11. And he said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities. He speaks to her and he heals her. And he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. This is our world. This is the people that are around, that this woman was just healed after 18 years of misery, and there is somebody that's got to have an attitude and an opinion about what God just did. And so the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath and said unto the people, there are 6 days which men ought to work, and in them therefore come to be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. Then the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doeth not thou each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to the water? And ought not this woman? And then Jesus says something here. She wasn't a beggar woman. She wasn't a pauper. She wasn't sickly. She wasn't a woman that didn't have anything, because that's who she really was. She wasn't a woman that was completely wiped out or had nothing to offer. Jesus says this about her. Being a daughter of Abraham. Now, in that time and day, that was a compliment. That was saying that you are a part of the lineage of the greatest lineage, that you are a part of a lineage that will live forever. You are a part of a lineage that one day their seed will set upon a throne that will be as the sands of the sea. That one man is saying, why did you heal her? And Jesus is saying, you don't understand. Not only did she need my healing, but she is awesome. She is a part of the family. She is something that is great. She's a daughter of Abraham. Don't you understand who she is and why she deserves what she got today? Not only did he do something in her natural body, but he spoke something into her mind also as she walked home that day. Things looked a little brighter. She was excited. But not only was she healed, an almighty, awesome God confirmed who she was. She wasn't the beggar on the corner. She wasn't this woman that was nothing, that had no possessions. But when Jesus looked at her, he said, she's a part of a lineage. She is special. There is something awesome about this woman. How could you not withhold this from her? The words that Jesus used, the way that he spoke to people, he was constantly affirming. He was constantly letting them know that he loved them. He was constantly bringing people to him. He was constantly making sure that they knew how he felt about them. It's something when you come into the presence of God and you get a confirmation of how he feels about you. You're standing there and you've got your hands in the air and tears running down your face, and all of a sudden you have a confirmation as God speaks into your spirit, or there's a word in a service and it hits you, and you realize, man, God really does care about me. God really has his hand on my life. Why would we not want God to be a part of our lives? Hey, walking up to say, it might even be, who do I start with? You could start with your own children. Hey, I love you. Hey, God's got his hand on your life. I'm excited about what God's doing in you. You could catch one of the young people that are around here that after church. Hey, I appreciate what y'all have been doing. I appreciate the hard work that y'all have been putting in. Finding a Sunday school. Just starting with somebody and speaking a positive word into their lives. Because it's 1 Thessalonians 5:11 that says, therefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also ye do. He's talking about edifying one another, picking each other up, helping one another, allowing your words not to be words that cut people down, but to lift people up. I heard a statement the other day that said, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I'm wearing milk-bone breeches right now. There are days that it feels that way. There are days that you just wish you'd have somebody walk up and say, hey, I think you're pretty special, Sister Creel. You know, I think you're pretty awesome. And he's like, oh, maybe I am awesome. All these other people I'm dragging around that are chewing on my leg right now, maybe they don't know what they're talking about. Maybe I am pretty awesome. Maybe God does have his hand on my life. Your words may be the only encouragement that someone ever hears that day, that week, or even that month. That voice of God's grace that God speaks through you to encourage somebody else. That shift from looking down on someone, but to looking up to him and to looking out to this world. We see Jesus, and I never put this together until the other night as I was reading in Luke 24 and 50. And Jesus led them as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. This is Jesus. He's about to leave. He's about to be taken up into the sky. He's about to ascend into the heavens. And the very last thing that Jesus does is he blesses them. And it came to pass while he blessed them. It says he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. The last words that Jesus spoke on this earth was positive words into people around him. The very last thing that he said before he ascended into the heavens is he was speaking blessings and positive things into these men's lives. These 500 people that were standing there with him, he was affirming them. He was blessing them. He was letting them know that they were awesome. He was letting them know that they had what it took to make it, that whatever was going to come their way, that what was inside of them was enough to make it. If Jesus thought that it was important enough to be blessing them, we could have written here all of these great wonders, all of these great things, all of these theological ideas, and he didn't put that in there. He didn't write those things down. He was, hey, Peter, you got what it takes. I know you sometimes you stumble, but don't forget, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hey, John, I know that sometimes you get a little emotional, you and James, and but it's going to be all right. You've got what it takes. You're going to do something awesome in the kingdom of God. You're going to write books of the Bible. I believe that he was affirming people. He was speaking into their lives. 500 people standing there, and all of the sermons that he could have preached at that moment, he was speaking blessings into their lives before he took his last moment to ascend into the sky. What would happen if this week your conversation would be peppered with words like, I believe in you, I'm grateful for you, I see God using you, I appreciate you, I am glad that you are in my life? How would that change some of the conversations that you have with people in your life if you just added 5 or 6 of those statements into your life just this week? How would it change some of the conversations in your life this week? How would it affect some of the people that are around you this week? We've been talking about having a healthy soul. You see, the problem is that we live in such a way sometimes. We're so weary, we're so tired, we run so fast, we're so busy, we've got so much going on in our lives that we run past everybody. We just blow right by everybody that's going on. You see signs that say no loitering. And they'll put them up on a piece of property, or they'll post them up down at a restaurant where the kids like to hang out. And they're saying, you can't just hang out here. But we've got to understand as Christians, as people that live in a rat race of a society, we've got to find some time to just loiter for a while sometimes. It doesn't matter what the sign says. I need to spend some time right here. I need to slow down. I need to spend some time with this person. I need to spend some time in this area of my life. I've got to just slow down for a little while and just sit here. And even though it might look like I'm not doing anything, God is using me. I'm slowing down enough to allow God to. There's sometimes we're already 15 miles down the road before what God is speaking to us has even made it through the hustle and the bustle of what's going on in our lives. We see where Paul spoke about these people from Philippi, and he's saying, you are in my heart. You see, when our soul is sick, when we're weak, when we're not staying close to him, we're going to talk about that in just a second. I've got to hurry. When we don't feel well, we don't want to be around anybody. When we're sick, we don't want to be around anybody. When we've got a headache, we don't want to be around anybody. When we're tired and we're weak, we don't have the energy that we need. We've got things going on. We would rather be all by ourselves. And that's what the enemy wants us to be. He wants us to be recluses. He wants us to close ourselves in. He wants us to justify why we don't have anybody around us and why, well, that's just not my personality. Well, that's all well and good. I fully understand that. Trust me. But there is one person. There is two people. There's people on your job that you could begin to speak positive things into their life. Just your kindness alone could affect their life for good. Just your kindness alone could cause them to begin to look at you and say, wow, they've got something that nobody else on my job has. And not only does it change the way that they look, it changes the way that you feel. There's something about when you're speaking positive in your life instead of negative, that there's something about it. The Bible says that the power of death and life is in the power of the tongue. Too many of us as Christians have the head of Christ. We've got the knowledge, we've got the stuff, but we don't have his heart. We know the doctrine, we know what holiness is, we know the way that we're supposed to live, but we haven't put it in our heart. We don't have it in our heart. How do I keep my spirit softened towards people? How do I do this? How do I keep from being hardened at the world that I live in? How do I keep from being hardened with the people that I interact with every day? That's a tough question. When I lived in Houston, I was the only male that was on the campus there at Life Tabernacle. They had a bunch of offices a block away, and all the other pastors were there. I was the only male that had an office on the church site. Every other one, it was the women at the school, it was the teachers, it was the secretaries, and then there was me. So every time somebody showed up begging for money, they went and got me, and I had to deal with them. And year after year of dealing with all of this stuff, there became a part of me that would actually get angry when they would show up. A part of me that would get frustrated, a part of me that I've grown men that are twice my age coming and asking me for money. I gave one man a $20 bill one day and he threatened to whip me in the sanctuary because it wasn't enough money. And I begin to get hard toward, how do you keep from getting hard towards these situations? How do you keep from getting hard for the people that are around your life? The people that you expect to change, but they just don't change. The people that need to change, and you know what's best for them, but they won't listen to you. How do you keep from getting hard? How do you keep from writing them off? How do you keep from being the only Jesus in their life? It starts with, I'm going to give you five different areas that you can work on that help keep you soft towards the people that are around you. First of all, you've got to stay relationally connected. If you are an island all by yourself, it's easy to write everybody off and create walls. That's why it's so important to have church family. We have to be relationally connected with the people that are around us. We've got to have a connection with the people that are. We were not made to be all by ourselves. I don't care how big of a homebody you are. God did not create us to live all by ourselves. You take somebody, you put them in a prison cell, you leave them there all by themselves, they will literally go crazy. And so God did not create us to be loners. Even though that might be some of our personality, even though we enjoy it, he didn't create us to be that way completely. There are people in our lives that we can connect to. And so we've got to stay relationally connected. We've got to have life-giving relationships in our lives. We've got to have our own heart that will become that is willing to be a part of experiencing biblical community and personal enjoyment, enjoying a life-giving community of people that are around you. Because if we don't, our heart will become hard towards others. You can come to church on Sunday morning, you can hear a good sermon, you can raise your hands, you can pray, you can turn around, you can walk out those doors and never say one word to anybody and feel like you're okay because you made it to church that day, but you're not connected to anybody. And the day that something bad happens in your life, if you're not connected to anybody, you've got to understand, you better hope that somebody notices that you're around. You see that young man that fell out of that window in the middle of a church service, there were people that he was connected to at that moment in time that knew how to get a hold of God. And they went down and prayed that boy back to life. That's what you want around you. You want a life-giving community that you are connected to. So when you say, I don't want to be connected, I just want to stay at home tonight. I need to find a place and get in my place, my temple, my safe place. You've got to understand that's all well and good every now and again, but you've got to understand, you've got to just tell yourself, I'm not just going to live in this place. I'm not just going to stay where I'm at. I've got to have meaningful relationships in my life. You've got to stay spiritually connected to Christ. Ministry and working with people and life and working at the plant and just day-to-day life with your family will drain you. If you do not stay spiritually connected to Christ, you will become hard towards others. It is easy to begin to write other people off. It is easy to be short with other people. I find in my own life when I'm my shortest, when I'm quick to jump at something, it's because I haven't been spending the time with Christ like I should be. So we've got to stay relationally connected. We've got to stay spiritually connected. Thirdly, we've got to slow down. We talked about it a minute ago. Take time to loiter. Take time to stop and smell the roses. Just picked one person in church today, and before you run out that door to try to beat everybody else down to Cajun booze, just stop and spend time with somebody. Don't be looking over the shoulders. Don't be watching. Just stop and be there for a moment. Just be there for that moment in time. And I know that's hard. There's times after church, I got to get to that one. We got a visitor. And to stop and try to just be there for that moment. Just try that today. Just stop and spend time. Just slow down. You're still going to get your chicken wings. It's going to be all right. Just slow down and connect with someone. And pray for them. Pray for them. It's hard to be hard towards someone that you are going to a prayer room for. Pray for them. Pray for those people. I'm going to talk about it on Veterans Day. But when Aaron would walk into the, when he would walk into the temple, he had a breastplate on. And though that breastplate represented every tribe, it represented every person. He had them on his heart when he walked in before Christ. We've got to understand that when we go before Christ, there's got to be people that are on our hearts that say, God, I need you to touch them. I need you to help them. God, I'm frustrated with them right now. So I know that if I'm getting frustrated, I need you to bless them. I need you to be with them. I need your hand to be upon them, oh God. I need you to watch over them. I need you to keep them. Pray for the people that are around you. Make a list of the people that you interact with every day. Who on your job have you prayed for lately? Who in your family have you prayed for lately? Have you prayed for your children or your wife or your spouse lately? Make a list. Put it on your phone. Write it down. Put it in your Bible and just make up your mind. I'm praying for these people every day of my life. If it's just on the way to work, I'm going to call out their name, because it's hard to get hard towards people when you're praying for them. So how am I going to begin to find a way to become the person that God wants me to be? It's easy. Stay relationally connected. Get connected. When they're going to have a gumbo tasting, if that's in your age group, be at the gumbo tasting. That's not that hard. They're giving away gumbo. You know, show up to something like that. Show up to events. You don't have to carry the weight of the world at those events. And you don't have to. Just show up and be a part of it. Interact with people. Connect with people. Because the further and further you allow yourself to get away from everybody, the easier it is to finally one day just turn and walk away altogether. And when somebody calls you and lets you know, hey, I'm praying for you, you're like, yeah, it doesn't really matter, because I've allowed myself to get so far away from the situation, I don't even care anymore. You've got to stay relationally connected. You've got to stay connected in your relationship with God. You've got to begin to find ways to slow down in your life. I've been sitting there thinking, me and my wife were talking the other day, and like, all right, I've got to change this, and I've got to change this, and I need to do this here, because I've got to find ways that once things, once my day is done to a certain time, that I can cut loose and shut different aspects of my life down in different ways so that I can focus on. And so I begin to think about ways, okay, how can I do this? I'm changing this. Okay, I'm going to meet here and I'm going to change this and work with this, because we've got to find ways to slow our lives down. I've heard some of you say that now that you're retired, you're busier than you've ever been. It doesn't matter what you have to do. We're always going to be busy. So we've got to find ways to slow our lives down. We've got to engage people on a personal level. When was the last time you just sit down and asked somebody, how are you doing? When was the last time you went to create a conversation with somebody that you didn't need anything from? You know, you get that text, and I'm probably guilty of it, and you're going to be laughing at me right now. You get that text, how are you doing today? And you're like, oh, here it comes. They're needing something. They're wanting something. They're Yep, I know how this is going. They don't care how I'm doing. This is just the first step to getting into the conversation of what they need me to do. When was the last time you just connected with somebody without needing one thing from them? And then praying for them. Make that list. Make it plain. And call out that you've got a problem with somebody at work that makes you angry, pray for them. You've got a situation in your family, pray for them. You've got a situation in your marriage, pray for them. Because when you begin to pray for people, it helps keep your heart tender towards the situations that are going on in your life. Lord Jesus, help us, oh God, to speak something good into somebody's life today. Help us, oh God, to be people that are willing to get outside of our comfort zones, our wants and our desires, God, that we could love somebody else. Lord, that we could help somebody else's world. Lord, if it's just a positive word, if it's just a lunch, if it's just a conversation, if it's just being able to pray for them when nobody else will. God, I pray that you would use us as a church, oh God, to be the people that you've called us to be for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God woke me up a few weeks ago, and I think I did a prayer meeting. I told a few of you this story. But God woke me up a few weeks ago. He gave me a vivid, vivid dream of a family that I still know them, but it's been 10 years since I've corresponded with them. 10 years. I don't know what's going on in their life. I don't know what's going on in their world. I can't call them and just ask. We're that far separated now. We used to work together in a church. We're still friends. Everything's great. But God laid them on my heart. And I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I went to prayer for them. I travailed for them. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong. I've asked people if anything's going on in their lives. I've Facebook stalked them to see if something terrible happened, I can't find any reason that God would place them on my heart that strong. And finally I was praying, God, why am I feeling what I'm feeling? And he told me, I need you to pray for them because I don't have anybody else that will. I don't have anybody else that will. They have separated themselves from their church. They've separated themselves from people that are right. And now they found themselves. And so just listen to God. God, is there anybody in my life that I could pray for that nobody else would pray for? Is there anybody on my job that I could pray for that nobody else is praying for? Is there anybody in my family that I could pray for that nobody else is praying for? Help me, God, to be sensitive to your spirit, because I've got to be the person that you've called me to be. I've got to be this relational being that loves his neighbor as he loves himself. And the way to do that, I gave you some steps this morning of ways to get out of your comfort zone just a little bit to try to reach into somebody else's life in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would use this for the glory of your kingdom. I pray that your anointing would be upon us, your hand would be upon us, that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and that you would anoint us, and that your will and your way would be done through us, oh God. Lord, that we would be a church family that looks like you, acts like you, talks like you, and loves like you, God. Lord, that your will and your way would be done in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen.